Well, it's always a privilege, always an honor to get to preach and to stand behind this pulpit, not just song leading, but declaring the Word of God, preaching. And I thank Pastor for allowing me to do that. And I want to say, sometimes when you get to preach, if you're preaching just on a regular basis, you know, weekly, you have a point of. You can have where you're going through a book or a series, and you kind of know where you're going. Sometimes when you don't get to preach very often, just, you know, occasionally, then sometimes you think, man, you come and you go, where should I preach? I mean, obviously anything in here is preachable, but sometimes just having, and I want to say Brother David kind of inspired me. If you've been around for a while, you've been in, when he preaches, he's preaching in what book?
Daniel.
See, you just know it. You know, when he gets up there until the end of that, you know that automatically I'm going to turn to the book of Daniel. And so I thought, well, you know, at least that gives you a place to go. So I thought, well, I don't know how disjointed this series will be, but I thought about taking the book of Philippians and going through at whatever pace the Lord allows, but just take that and go through the book of Philippians, and I'll just title it Philippians is Joy in Circumstances. And so tonight, just a couple verses for our text. We'll give you some background and then get in the message. So if you'd stand with me, we're in Philippians chapter 1, just the two verses, first two verses, Philippians chapter 1. The Bible says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach tonight just simply called a powerful greeting, a powerful greeting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the time we can be in your house tonight. Thank you for, Lord, the opportunity to sing praises to your name, and what a privilege. We have something to sing about that, Lord, we have songs just that'll glorify you, and thank you for that. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give, and Lord, that you've given so much to us, and just what a privilege it is that we can just even give back to you, that the gospel might be furthered here and around the world. And then, Lord, now as we come to the preaching of your word, I pray that you'd just help me as I preach. God, just help me to say those things that I need to, that'll be helpful. Father, just I pray that you would help me to just communicate clearly, that your word would go forth and be a benefit to us. And, Father, we know it's effectual and it works. Father, it's just a matter of we will obey it and do it. And so, God, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. And Father, that you'd be honored in the remainder of this service, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this kind of this background of the book of Philippians, to get really the background of that, you really have to go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. So if you look there in Acts chapter 16 with me, starting in we see how Paul, this is where he goes to Philippi, the city of Philippi itself. It's in, if you're looking on a map, if you know geography, where Greece is, Philippi, it nowadays would be in the kind of, Greece kind of sits there, almost looks like a little boot, kind of to the east of Italy. And then just on that northeastern shore of the Aegean Sea, there is Philippi. It's in the region of Macedonia. And this place, Philippi, it was a Roman colony back in those days under Caesar, under Augustus, and has a Roman colony. It really was a portion of Rome itself. It was as if Rome was just transplanted that in that area. It's just a portrait. They said it was a portrait of the mother city, just on a small scale. Those that lived there were Roman citizens, and they had all the rights that came with being a Roman citizen. And so in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas go there on what we know as Paul's second missionary journey. This would be about 51 AD. And in Acts chapter 16 is where we find they go there. It says here in verse 1, Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." We sing that song, Send the Light. It says, "We have heard the Macedonian call today." That's what it's referring to here, is that vision he saw of, "Hey, come to Macedonia and help us." And it says a vision, and in verse number 10, he says, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days." And of course, as they are in there, and they come to Philippi, they meet with Lydia there, those ladies that were gathering by the river there, and as they establish that church there. Of course, this is in that chapter, as you would read later on in the chapter, we find that's where, as they are there and preaching, there was that demonic possessed woman that would follow him around. These are servants of the Most High God, and they preach the way of eternal life. And they kept she was on him all the, you know, after a few days of that, Paul got tired of that, and he cast out she was demon possessed, and he cast out that demon spirit. Well, the only problem with that is she would foretell things, and because of that, she would bring a profit to those who owned her masters. Well, now that she had this demonic spirit gone, that cost them money. They were no longer able to profit from her. And so, if things start costing you money, people get mad when you start costing them money. And so they were taken to the magistrates, and the magistrates caused Paul and Silas to be beaten and thrown in the stocks. And we know that story. They were in the stocks there fastened, and then that angel of the Lord came and the earthquake shook and released them. And then the jailer, seeing that coming, and thought they'd all been escaped. And he's ready to kill himself. And he said, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And of course, he sprang in with the light. And that famous saying we hear where he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That was there in Philippi. We call them the Philippian jailer. That happened in Philippi there. And then, he takes and washes him, and he gets saved. His whole house gets saved. And then after that, the magistrates, they're just going to let him go quietly. And he said, whoa, no. He says, "You've beaten a Jew openly and uncondemned," and they didn't realize Paul had Roman, that he had Roman citizenship, and they knew they were in trouble, because as a Roman citizen, you had right, you couldn't just be beaten without a trial, without proper due course, and so they come and plead with him to leave. And that's his time. That we find that all in the book of Acts chapter 16. And that's who he's writing to, these that are in this church that was started there in Philippi. And these people there, he came to have a great love for those in Philippi, those believers there. And on several occasions, and we'll see this later on in the book, they have helped him, not just monetarily, but they've helped him. And there was a great, an affection on both sides. Paul had a great love for the church and they had a great love for him. And so he writes this letter. And he, at this time, he is in he's in jail. He's in his first imprisonment there in Rome. And he writes this letter for a couple of reasons. He writes them, number one, to thank them for their contributions. Epaphroditus had come and brought that. And while he was there, he got sick, nigh unto death. And so he wrote back to say he was okay, and he was sending him back with this letter. He writes to them to express his love and sympathy for them, and to exhort them to have a life consistent with Jesus Christ. And so the theme of this letter really is just joy and contentment. The key words in Philippians are joy and rejoicing. And remember, Paul's writing this from a Roman prison cell. I mean, he's in prison, and he's talking about joy and rejoicing. And the key words are that, joy and rejoicing. Jesus, we find Jesus in this book in the fact that Jesus is our joy. And so as we look in this book and over whatever course of time we'll take and go through that, I want to take the first part, as in with any letter. This is an epistle, is just a letter, that, and Paul's writing this letter, as with any letter. They usually open a letter with a greeting. And while this greeting here is simple, I believe there's some things that can be of a great help to us tonight if we'll let it. And it just simply says, again, let me read it. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to see tonight three things about this greeting. I want to see that it's a letter from men who knew their proper position. It's to a people who were in the proper place, and that it had, they, those people in that proper place had the proper parentage. So we'll look tonight, and as we look at first of all, I want to notice these men had the proper position. Paul and Timotheus, he calls them themselves the servants of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul often in a few of his letters, he refers to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, as he writes to the Romans, he refers himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, he introduces himself as that of a servant. The Greek word for servant is doulos, and it just means a slave, a bondman. And it really what it is, it's one who gives himself up to another's will. A servant is somebody who doesn't do his own thing. He does whatever he is commanded to do, whatever he is told to do, how he's told to do it. That's what a servant is. He's not his own. And though Paul refers himself to himself that way, you know, that wasn't always the case in his life. At one point, Paul had a very prestigious background. Later on, he'll tell the Philippians, later on in Philippians chapter 3, he'll say this, he'll say, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he's going to give his list of his pedigree here, his background. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So he was a Pharisee. Religiously speaking, at the top of the ladder, so to speak. I mean, they were very religious. And those Pharisees were all about recognition and reputation. You see where Jesus condemned them. He says, you love to stand in the corner and have men call you rabbi, rabbi. And they love the praise of men. And Paul was there. Paul, very educated man, very knowledgeable, being a Pharisee, would have known the law extremely well. And man, he even had such authority, he would get letters and go and use his authority to go persecute those early Christians. But after he came to know the Lord, and we find that in Acts chapter 9, his life would drastically change. He began to understand, hey, the way to true honor was not honoring ourselves among ourselves. It's as if he understood what Jesus said in John chapter 5 regarding the Pharisees. Jesus said this, how can you believe which receive honor of one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? So that's what Paul used to do. They'd honor one another and get honor from men. And if I could get the praise of men, praise the man, that'd be great. But Jesus said true honor comes from God only. And Philippians 3 and verse 7, Paul said this, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All the reputation, all the recognition, he realized, hey, that's not what it's all about. And he gladly took upon him the title of servant of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just a title, it was a reality in his life. He understood there was that he was a purchased man. As you read through his epistles, you understood he didn't belong to himself. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, he says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He said, I realize God's bought me. I don't belong to myself. Hey, as a servant, slaves in those days, hey, you were a purchased property. You were bought by the master, and you did whatever the master said. He bought you, and he could tell you what to do, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it. You were his purchased possession. And Paul realized he was that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 27:23 says, for though there stood by me this night the angel of God, this is why he's shipwrecked, or he's on the ship there, and he says, this, whose I am and whom I serve. He realized, hey, I belong to God. That's whose I am. That's who I belong to. And that's who it is that I serve. You know, listen, if we want to do great things for Christ, we need to recognize our proper position. Hey, we don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought with a price, you and I. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ, which liveth in me. You know, that ought to be our motto, yet not I, but Christ. And Paul lived that. Listen, as servants of God, we need to realize tonight, just as Paul and Timothy were, hey, they were servants of God. You and I, as servants of God, we need to realize we're not our own. We shouldn't be seeking our own will, but the will of the one who purchased us with his own blood. You know, I find probably the older you are, maybe if you've been in ministry a while or if you've been in a position for a while, you know, the longer you've been someplace, you know, it's easy to go start thinking, hey, I've been here long. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm up in age. I deserve to be served a little bit. I've earned to be, you know, I've earned the right to be served. And, you know, maybe I can let off this service thing a little bit and let some other people serve me, do for me. Hey, we can't, if we're not serving one another, hey, doesn't matter how long you've been in this thing, doesn't matter how long you've been saved, doesn't matter how long you've been in ministry, doesn't matter how long you've been where you've been or in your family or in your community, hey, we are called to still be servants of the living God. You know, you may not get recognition. It may not be convenient. It may even involve some difficulty. But listen, when I realize my proper position, that of servant, doesn't matter. What matters is that I please the master. That's what matters. And so it was with Paul, and as you'll see in this letter to the Philippians, it wasn't just a title he carried. It was something he lived out in the everyday working of his life. So we have Paul, who understands his proper position, but we see that he's writing to a people that are in the proper place, the church, the local church. Now, although it doesn't say that specifically, it says to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, though it doesn't specifically call it a church. In some of the other epistles, he does. He talks in Corinth, he writes to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to the churches of Galatia, he writes there, to the church of the Thessalonians. And so he spells that out specifically, has a church or these churches in this region. But here, though he's not named it, though it doesn't call it a church, it has all the components of a local New Testament church we see here. First of all, it has, a New Testament, biblical New Testament church is an organized assembly of saved and baptized believers. That's what a local New Testament church is. And so here we see a particular people. It's to the saints. Now, it's interesting. The word saints, as I was looking that up, it really, in the Greek, it means holy. It's a called out group of people that are separated from this world, separated unto God. We use that word sanctification is what that's called. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? You are no longer of this world. You're called out of this world and you're set apart from this world. You're set apart unto God. That's what a saint is. You don't have to go through some ceremony and be whatever they do to be a saint. Hey, guess what? If you're saved tonight, I mean, right here's Saint Billy. All right, Billy, do you know you're a saint? Billy, and that's Saint David, and this one, Saint Richie. I mean, right there. You know, hey, if you know Christ as your Savior, that's who he's talking about. Saints, we're called out. We're set apart because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has saved us, and now he's set us apart. And the commentator Albert Barnes says this. He says, the radical idea then, as applied to Christians, is that they are separated from other men and other objects and pursuits and consecrated to the service of God. See, that's what God didn't save us just to sit and sour and soak. And he saved us to serve. He saved us for a purpose. He called us out and he saved us and to be set apart. And so that's who Paul's writing to. He said, I'm writing to the saints. I'm writing to the saved ones. And they're in this assembly. And notice it was not only a particular people, but there was a particular place. To the saints which are at Philippi. Hey, this thing called a church. A church, a New Testament church, is a local assembly. It's not this universal, invisible thing that we don't know how they would assemble or where they would, how would you practice all those things. No, the church is a local, a visible assembly. This is Bethany Baptist Church here and in Lubbock, Texas. I mean, that's we are this local body right here. And these saints were assembled together in this city, this local assembly at Philippi, in a particular place. And even then, we see there's particular positions here with the bishops and deacons. You see, in the church, there are specific offices that are given of leadership in the church, of oversight in the church. There's the bishops, or that would we call pastor. There is several terms in the New Testament for that. Elders, bishop, there's their overseer. But That's the pastor. God has given the church a pastor. And the pastor, he's a gift to this church. And he's there to preach the word and to teach and to help the body grow, to bring it, give it oversight. That's the job of the preacher. And then we have offices of deacons. We have two wonderful deacons in our church here, Brother Fowler and just recently Brother Gilbert. But they have qualifications. Each of those offices have qualifications. Not just anybody can be a preacher. There's certain qualifications that a preacher has to have. You look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, those qualifications are spelled out. And they have to meet those. To be a deacon, there are qualifications. 1 Timothy chapter 3 spells those out for the qualifications. But those are offices God has given to the local church to be a help, to be a blessing to a local church. And so we see with these components, we see Paul is writing to a people there. They're in the proper place. They're in the local church there at Philippi, composed of saints in that location with the offices of the bishop and deacons there. And so the what we gather from that is, listen, if I'm going to serve the Lord, guess what? The proper place to serve the Lord is in and through this local church. God ordained and established the local church. It's through the local church that we preach the word of God, that we grow, the believers are to grow, but it's also through the local church that we send forth the gospel, not just in our town, but around the world. It's the service we serve God through the local church. So we see here, we have the author, the Apostle Paul, realizes his proper position, that of servant. And he writes to those that are in the proper place, the local church. And while doing that, he understands there's a common bond that they have. And that's because they have the proper parentage. Where he says, grace and peace unto you, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Hey, the commonality we have. If you know, if you're a child of God, what he's saying to us, he said, hey, we're family. Hey, we are in the same family. And what a blessing that he says, and that he says, grace, the God's enabling, he's praying God's enabling in their life. That's what grace is, the strength to do the work of God, to serve God, comes through his grace. And he says, and peace, that's the result of being in the service of God. I have the peace of God. I can have that in my life when I'm doing what he desires me to do. But he says, it comes, he says, grace and peace from God, our Father. Listen, it reminds us that we're in this all together. This thing of service. We're, you know, this idea that, hey, we're all God, the world's all God's children, is that's not true. Not everybody's children of God. But only those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior are adopted into the family of God. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So any person can become a child of God through that faith and repentance and faith and trust in Christ. I can become a child of God. And if you know Christ as your Savior, hey, we're family. We're brothers and sisters. And we are to serve in this local church, through the local church, together. We're serving together. And like a family that works well, you help one another and you serve one another. And you, hey, we're to do that together. Serving the Lord together as a family through this church. So tonight, as we see just in that short passage, just those two verses, that's the greeting. He opens this letter. It's a very simple, but I think a very powerful greeting that he gives to them. And I want you to take away these three things. First of all, that realize, you know what, our real value is not in trying to be somebody in this world. Hey, the world, you know, that's the thing of the world. Hey, you got to be somebody. You got, man, I want to be the richest, or I want to be the most well-known or the most liked, or I've got to be, you know, the top of this. Or, hey, man, I want recognition. We want people to remember me. Hey, listen, our real value is not in chasing after those things. Real value and real greatness is found in being a servant. Hey, listen, if you'll just get this one thing, that it's not about you. Hey, listen, it's not about me. It's about serving my master. It's about him. Whatever he wants, wherever he wants, when he wants, how he wants, that's what matters. Because I'm the servant. He's the master. But then secondly, listen, God has given us a place, and we've got a great place here, Bethany Baptist Church. He's given us this place, not for you to come in and just sit and go, okay, hey, I've been in the service. Well, that was good singing. Okay, well, that was a good message. But now just, you know, no, he's given us where we come in and we hear, we get to sing praises to the Lord. And when you're here, you ought to sing. You ought to sing heartily unto the Lord. But then we get to hear the preaching from the Word of God. And we take that and we take it home and apply it in our life. And we go out and we serve one another. And we serve our community. We serve our world by giving the gospel and by teaching or by giving or by singing. Or there's a variety of different ways we can serve, but we are to serve. God didn't give one of us to just save us just to sit. He saved you to serve. And we do that right here in the local church. And then thirdly, listen, you can't begin to serve God if you're not a part of his family. And I know this is a Wednesday night, and I know, Brother Mason, don't you know this is where all the faithful people come? And I mean, but I would say, and that is true, but I would say, I would venture to say there may be somebody here tonight that even if you've come to this church a long time, coming to church doesn't make you saved. Being in the right family doesn't make you saved. But you know what? You can't serve God unless you're part of the family. And there's only one way to get in the family. And that's by repenting of your sin, turning and trusting to the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and that if you called upon him to save you, by promise of his word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God would save you. And upon that, he adopts you. He makes you part of his family. Guess what? You become an heir with Jesus, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Hey, we've got God gives us all the benefits of family. But you don't get that unless you know him, unless you're in the family. And so tonight, I just challenge you, whatever part, maybe tonight you need to say, you know what, I've not been serving. I've been kind of just worrying about me and just getting through and maybe just making it. Hey, if you'll take and just say, I want to have a heart for service. You know, if we're all serving one another and we're serving, guess what? I'll get taken care of. If I'm serving out here and giving and and you're doing the same, guess what? All our needs get taken care of as we serve. And maybe you need to say, God, I need to start serving. I need to surrender, die to myself and surrender to you. God, maybe I need to get more involved in this local church. Maybe you're doing a lot already. Praise the Lord for that. But maybe there's some areas you say, hey, I need to do some more in these areas. But maybe tonight you're here and you're not even in the family. You don't have the right parentage. Tonight you can, because we have our invitation. You could come and just come, and we'll put a man with a man or a lady with a lady, take the word of God and show you how you can become a child of God. What a powerful greeting from Paul to the Philippians.